I'd like to look at the subject of Nubuwa now. We finished Tawheed. And with a focus on Ayah 50 of Surah Al-Taha, this is Surah number 20, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes the conversation, the dialogue between Fir'aun and Prophet Musa alayhi salam. See, in Ayah 49, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qala, Fir'aun said, فَمَرْ رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَى And who is your Rabb, O Musa? Qala, he said, Musa said, رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْتَى قُلَّ شَيْنْ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ حَدَى Our Rabb is He who gave to everything its creation, then guided it, and guided it to its goal. From tiny atoms to vast galaxies, the whole of existence is progressing towards perfection in accordance with fixed laws and divine orders. And we see that a single seed in the course of these laws and condition becomes a powerful tree. We see the bee, through guidance and inspiration, developing a civilization of its own, leading its life into a complicated society. See, all of us move towards perfection. And perfection means self-realization, the actualization of all the potentialities inherent in a particular being. If we define perfection in this way, then we don't take it in an absolute sense, but relative to the capacity of each individual creation, in this case human beings. There is thus a direct ratio between the degree of capacity and the degree of attainable perfection. And development is the process through which something realizes itself and gains the perfection of what it is capable of. If we look at Surah Al-A'la, in Ayah 2, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He describes Himself, says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alladhi khalaqa fasawwa. Allah is He who creates, then makes complete, then perfects. Walladhi qaddara fahada. And He makes things according to a measure, then guides them to their goal. The ayah therefore draws our attention to four divine activities in relation to the universe. We have khalq, which is creation. Then we have taswiyah, which is perfecting it. Then we have taqdeer, which is measuring. And then we have huda, which is guiding. So a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is endowed with potentialities and guided by its creator, sustainer, nourisher, cherisher, and passes from stage to stage until it has reached its full development. The guidance and the care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are essential for its development. Divine guidance is at work absolutely everywhere in the universe. Now, the form in which it's imparted to its recipient is termed wahi in the Qur'an. And wahi is usually translated as revelation. But wahi is more generalized and has a wider scope in the English term. So let's first look closely at the nature and the function of wahi or revelation. Wahi literally means prompting, inspiring, or infusing a thought or feeling into a person. At different levels of creation, wahi operates in different forms. It ranges from inciting a blind urge to inspiring a thought. And all things from material bodies to rational beings are subject or are amenable to wahi. The earth and the heavenly spheres are represented as submitting to divine direction. And again, if we look at the Qur'an, let's look at Surah Al-Hamim Sajda, which is Surah number 41. If we look at Ayah 12, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقَضَاهُنَّ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ وَأَوْهَا فِي كُلِّ سَمَاءٍ أَمْرَهَا He ordained them 7 heavens in 2 periods and revealed, He says, He revealed or inspired in each heaven its mandate. If we look at Surah Al-Zilzal, Allah talks about the earth. In Ayah 4 and 5, He says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. يَوْمَئِذٍ وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَحَا Now this is ayah 3. And the human being will ask, what has befallen her? That is when the earth will be shaken. And يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَكْبَارَهَا. On that day the earth, she shall tell her news. And then he says, why? بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا. Because your Rabb had inspired her. If we move in the animal world, then divine guidance is mediated by wahi in the form of an instinctual drive. And we find that in Surah An-Nahl. It's so beautiful where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the bee. In ayah 68, it says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَأَوْحَ رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ أَنِ اتَّخَذِي مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا وَمِنَ الشَّجَرِ وَمِمَّا يَعْرِشُونَ. He says, and your Rabb inspired to the bee, saying, make hives in the mountains and in the trees and in what they built. In Surah An-Nur, this is Surah number 24, we find the more about the directive force which is at work in everything. In ayah 41, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُصَبِّحُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْعَرْضِ وَالطَّيْرُ صَافَّاتِ قُلٌ قَدْ عَلِمَ صَلَاتَهُ وَتَسْبِيَهُ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِمَا يَفْعَلُونَ. Have you not seen that those who are in the heavens and the earth serve Allah? Look at the birds, they also spread their wings, they spread them out. Each one knows its appointed task and the way in which it is to be performed. Surah Al-An'am, Surah number 6, ayah 38, elucidates this point a little bit further. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, وَمَا مِنْ دَابَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا طَائِرٍ يَطِيرُ بِجَنَاحَيْهِ إِلَّا أُمَمٌ أَمْثَالَكُمْ. He says, there is no living being on the earth, nor a bird that flies with his wings, but they are like people like unto you, possessed of divine guidance. Everything, in fact, receives from the Creator all the guidance which it needs. The directive force which has its source in Allah is operative everywhere in the universe. And the regularity of the movement of objects that we see, of purposes, characters of the behavior of living beings, but all of them, both of these, reveal this guiding hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He guides the stars in their courses. He keeps the planets from straying from their orbits. Order in this physical world is the direct consequence of divine control and guidance. The movement of material bodies are governed by laws which cannot be changed. Look at gravity. It's a law that cannot be changed. Heavenly bodies submit to these laws. And so do minute particles of matter. Everywhere we find the complete subservience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing transgresses the limits set to its activity. And that is what we talk about, submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the animal world, the guidance takes the form of instincts, which allows the animal to make a satisfactory adjustment to its environment. This instinct enables it to satisfy its needs, to preserve itself and its young. You know, you just got to look at the National Geographic magazine, or you've got to look at the programs on nature, and you'll see the marvels of instincts. You know, you can have little examples that we see all the time. If you look at the duckling and the chick who have been hatched, and you find that the duckling fiercely plunges into water while the chick shrinks from it and keeps to dry land. Look at instinct guides them everywhere. Look at the wasp. The wasp lays its egg and provides foods for its young, which it's never going to see. And this factor, which is operative in the nature of each animal, incites it to engage in activities which leads to the satisfaction of its basic needs. And when we read all this, and when we try and understand on this, then we must understand that wahi carries each and everything from stage to stage until it's reached its full development. And we've also got to know that everything has to follow the course which has been prescribed for it. And maybe we can call it its nature. So let's now concentrate on the human being. The human being, without any doubt, needs divine guidance. Without it, he or she is likely to go astray. But the guidance for a human being is of a different kind. And that has to be suited to the free will or the freedom of choice that the human being has been granted as a gift. See, the human being has much in common with animals, but the difference between the two are more important than the resemblance. The intellectual powers and the immense learning capacity which are given to the human being set him apart from other animals. However, although the human being is potentially superior to animals, he or she at the beginning of his life is probably much worse equipped for the struggle of life than they are. If the human being develops his powers, then he can outstrip animals. But if he fails to develop them, then he may as easily sink below their level. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tin puts it very well. He says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. We have created the human being in the best of make. Then we render him the lowest of the low. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ عَمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ. Except those who believe and do good, so they shall have a reward never to be cut off. And we'll talk about that inshallah. Again, the human being is a moral being, capable of distinguishing between right and wrong, and really free to choose either. But sometimes we find, in fact more often we find, that it's not easy to distinguish good from evil, nor is it easy to choose the good when it is known. Although in one's instinct there is a guide, sometimes, unknowingly, unwittingly, one is led off the right path. There are no universally accepted moral codes, because there are as many codes as cultural groups in the world. We find that each tribe has developed a code of its own, which is unacceptable to other groups. And if you do a rational, dispassionate survey of several moral codes, then we find that it's very hard to distinguish, very hard to know which is really right or wrong, because the arguments, the effective, if I can say, justifications put forward for each one end up confusing the human being. Conscious is the group code which is internalized in the individual. And sometimes we are driven to conclude that there is no sure guide to the right and good inherent in man. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, in Surah Bani Israel, which is Surah number 17, look at Ayah 11, he says, وَيَدُوا الْإِنسَانُ بِالشَّرِّ دُعَاهُ بِالْخَيْرِ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. And the human being prays for evil as he ought to pray for good. And the human being is ever hasty. So, if the sole power to discriminate between right and wrong was inherent in the human being, if the human being possessed the capacity of or capability of judging good from bad and thus distinguishing between right and wrong without the help of divine guidance, then the institution of Nubuwwah would lose its guidance, or rather would lose its significance. According to the view which we find in the Qur'an, the human being is born neither good nor bad, but with the power of freedom to become either. He or she is endowed with immense potentialities. If he or she develops them, employs them for the moral and material advancement of humankind, then the conduct is good. If he or she fails to utilize these immense resources, or puts them to uses which are harmful to humankind, then the conduct is bad. Wahi or divine guidance points out the way to self-realization, to the promotion of knowledge and happiness. And this is when the human being achieves the state of mu'min. A mu'min is at peace with himself or herself and with the world, because he or she has successfully resolved the inner and outer conflicts. And wahi through nubuwwah shows the way to harmonize the individual mind as well as human society. And the Qur'an rejects the view that human nature has a fixed pattern and a rigidly determined behavior, because that deprives the human being of real freedom. Inshallah, tomorrow we shall continue with this topic and now look at Nubuwwah in essence.